One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
And one, two, three, two, three, four. It's the bop, bop, bow, but down.
It's episode.
The scooby dee boop. It's episode.
Doodly pop.
It's episode.
Doobity pop.
Episode. Boo 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 boo.
Yeah.
Nailed
it. All right,
yeah.
That was the episode.
Episode
song. Scoobity bop. Yep. Because as we know from the last episode, we don't know where we're at in the episode count
until our producer updates us.
He tells us, and
we don't have his phone number.
Yeah,
we just email him.
We should work on that, Blair.
Yeah, we should work on communication. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
We know. We'll get it though. We'll figure
sure.
it out
eventually.
But who doesn't love a little bit of mystery?
I know. Even to confuse the listeners.
Maybe we did it on purpose.
That's
because,
right.
You know, the anticipation of getting back into the real number count.
That's right. You'll never know when we're going back into the real number count. We might do more bullshit next time. You have no idea.
Who knows?
Yeah.
We could be dead by the next time. This could be the last episode.
Yeah,
guys.
I could have an undiagnosed condition.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's right. And
you never, this is one of those moments where you have to think about how precious life is.
That's right. This might be the last time you ever see us.
We still have we're basically only halfway through. So guys, what if?
Yeah, what if this is the last time you hear our voices? What if you die?
Oh, fuck.
Just think about that. What if, make sure you're doing something cool.
Yeah, lock your doors.
Yeah.
be careful going jogging.
You specifically.
You, yeah.
We know where you are.
Yeah.
We're coming.
And,
to 3295.
Expect us.
Greenview Avenue, Boulder, Colorado. Wouldn't that be crazy if that's actually one of their addresses?
Oh, that's fucked.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm at this point in being online where, every time I see someone post about where they're at, I'm very nervous for them.
Posting. Agreed.
Cause I also know that you kind of have to be careful even posting within your own home because there could be identifiable features within your apartment or something.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these people I see them posting outside their building or mm-hmm. In front of their house or someone else's
yeah,
house.
I do not post the front of my house.
I'm that is a little, that's a little makes
that's
me
rough.
Nervous.
Yeah.
And there's a girl on TikTok named Victoria Paris who got robbed twice by some guy. And then
she kept posting where she was.
I don't even know, but she just was she got cleared out. And I'm that sucks.
Yeah.
Luckily, I don't really have, I don't really have designer stuff. I don't really.
They won't get that much money if they break into your place.
Yeah, no. I'm trying to think about
Yeah, $40.
Yeah, I mean, aside from my pets, the thing I would be the most devastated about losing would probably be my vibrator.
How much would you pay for the pets?
We're not going to talk about it because I don't need to give anyone ideas.
That's a burglary angle no one's really been exploring.
Oh, trust me, people are.
Break in, steal the dog. Whoa, that's.
If anyone tried to steal my cat, I would shoot them with a gun.
Oh, wow. Ransoming pets.
And here's the thing is that I'm crazy enough to really think about protection in my own home.
Yeah, getting a firearm.
So I was you're so fucking lucky I'm not in Florida, dude, because man. Yeah, no, I would go I almost said Liam Neeson, but really John Wick, right? Because wasn't that the whole point of John Wick was that
yeah,
he went.
That was the exact plot.
I would literally go feral. I'm I have the bloodlust, and if you give me a reason to use it, you know what's funny is that they're probably going to use this clip in a future like true crime documentary about a like, murder.
I always had the bloodlust.
Yeah, and then it turns into the inverse, the screenshot, and then it zooms in. I know exactly how this shit fucking works. It zooms in, and it's like, and that was the last thing she ever said before she took the life of one of her best friends.
Yeah. And a producer in the room who had no idea he was in danger.
Find out what happens next.
We definitely hit a soft spot by talking about kidnapping pets.
But other than that, like, I don't really have anything
that they could steal
value, I guess. I just have a really great vibrator, and it would be very sad if I lost that.
Got it.
Yeah, but like, why would they take that?
Is it a rare one? That
it's not. It's just really, it just really works. I actually had one of our friends. I'm not going to say who. I'm not going to call her out publicly. But one of our friends was like, I told her about it on a Vegas trip that all of us were on.
And then she bought it.
I was so high, and we were in a van together.
Yeah.
And she was sitting behind me, and I literally just like turned my full body around to her and just leaned over. Yeah, I'm so dangerous. Didn't have a seatbelt on. Yeah. Don't do that. But I was just like so fucked up, and I was like, you gotta listen to me, you motherfucker. I'm like, you gotta buy the fucking rose toy on Amazon. I was like, you gotta try it. It will fuck it. Like, I swear to God, like, I'm not even sponsored by them. They should sponsor this podcast. Yeah. I was like, you have to fucking get that toy. And then she texted me like a week after our trip, and she goes, you ruined my life, by the way.
That's funny.
And I was like, how? And she's like, because I got that fucking toy.
Yeah. And now she's just like, stays in her apartment all day.
And now we talk to other people. Like, I don't know. It's that we like are spreading the gospel in a way. Like, we talked to one of our other friends. We were like, no, you got to get it. You got to get that.
I feel like vibrator marketing is a lot more sort of like slick than like fleshlight marketing for men. Like, there's all sorts of like jerk off devices. That's just like, you don't want to talk. If you have it, you don't want to talk about it. Be like, yo man, you tried this fucking jerk off handle. You know, it's not like cool, but girls are like, oh yeah, this vibrator is amazing.
Well, yeah, because they're not getting orgasms anywhere else.
Getting orgasms the other way. No, that's true. We get orgasms no matter what. We don't need to develop high technology.
Like, you're gonna nut regardless.
Yeah. Like, we're so simple. It's like, what you need tools? Leaf, you know, I mean, what else you got?
Yeah. Like, you actually come when you're having sex too. So like,
yeah. Oh, no, never mind. Like, I do understand the need for this product.
Yeah. Like, we need something. My ex and I, like, I think I had like a normal orgasm one time.
Wow.
Ever. Wow. And I was like, wow.
That's so upsetting.
Yeah, you gotta, otherwise, like, he was fine incorporating toys though. Like, so it was fine. But I'm like, you gotta do it because like the acoustic sets just aren't hitting.
gotta use the technology that's available.
Yeah, because like, yeah, unfortunately I don't know a lot of success stories.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Wonderful. So if the Rose Toy wants to sponsor this podcast, let's fucking go.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I will say, I saw Wicked, and now I'm itching for karaoke.
Got it. Oh, we'll make some time. We'll go.
I've just been singing the soundtrack by myself in my apartment.
I had so we'll have to invite other people who also sing the Wicked songs to like do a chorus.
It's easy. We have a lot.
Got it. We do. I had an experience this weekend that was very negative, but a very good learning experience.
Okay.
My friend brought someone to a shoot who was not vetted. We went to a restaurant to go shoot, and this person was sitting on the counter, like as if we owned the place. Like, we are a guest. I had to tell an adult who over 22 to not sit on a counter. I was like, please, could you come over here? I'm talking to you. It was one of the most atrocious experiences I've ever had. When we first got in the car, this truck is very large that we were in, and we were taking my baby to daycare. And she goes, you know what they call these types of cars? Like, referring to the truck, baby killers. I'm like, okay. There was no joke there. She's like, yeah, people can't see the babies in front of them, so they just kill toddlers. And I'm like, is this your intro? Is this your opening line? Like, this person thinks that this person has been introduced to me as like, oh, this guy could potentially help your online career and put you in skits and like teach you a lot. And your opening line is like about a baby killer thing. And then she's just rude to literally everybody, to the point where I had to actually tell my friend, I'm like, this is a good learning experience and you can never, ever do that again. This is the last time you get to bring somebody around who like, people, okay, this joke.
If you're going to make a baby killer joke, you have to make it like Anthony Jeselnik.
You
got to
really nail that baby killer joke. And she did not nail it. And this is sort of.
It wasn't really a joke either.
It wasn't even a joke. It's just like, do you know what we call these? But I mean, that was, to me, sitting on the countertop at a restaurant that has allowed us to shoot, that made me insane. That showed absolutely no decorum.
Yeah.
Like just sort of.
Is
picked
sort of. Sort of reminiscent of like a bigger issue that I think happened because of the pandemic, which is people losing a bit of their social skills while in lockdown.
It's possible.
Like people, because like they talk about this in movie theaters too. Like movie theater culture really changed after COVID because like there was just a lack of socialization that was happening that like people came out of it worse because they weren't using social skills for such a long time. Like you were locked in your home.
You know what? I might say that I think maybe you're right in the sense, are you saying that this might have affected younger people a lot more?
I think it affected everyone because of how it was also such a very, it was like a very divisive time and it was like very polarizing for people.
Well,
and so like a lot of people after the pandemic, like across the board, young people too, like I think especially like young people especially, but I think across the board, it's just like people, there's just been this like lack of like thinking about other people and how like you are like affecting other people. Like that is something like that's a very poor social skill.
I don't think
it's uncommon either for like some people.
I would say that given
it's not normal.
I would say given the number of people I shoot with, that was the first time I've ever had to tell an adult to get off the counter. No,
I think that like she, based on everything that we've heard, like she specifically has like a socialization.
This person said.
Everything I've heard about them has been crazy.
Right after the baby killer joke, it was, I was like, oh, so what's your name? You can call me, like she said her name, and then, or you can call me Princess. And I said, I'm not going to call you Princess. It's a very strong intro.
That's so weird.
Yeah. And you know, I pride myself on, you know, people bring people around me and I usually have to vet them. At least a little bit like, hey, you know, who are you bringing around? And like, this is the first time I've ever been like very, very much disappointed. But it is a funny story. And it's good to learn from. Brad had invited me
to this shoot also.
Oh, like, yeah, I did.
Because, but I had a movie premiere that I had to go to. And I was like, oh, I can't go. But he was like, just in case you do come earlier in the day, like, this person's really weird and not in a good way.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I don't, like, you're probably gonna hate this person. And I was like, that sounds very interesting to me. Like, part of it is like, do I wanna hang out with a person like that? No. Do I want to see? So I understand the
I think if you didn't have the movie premiere, it would have been a fabulous learning experience for you.
Because I you know, sometimes it's nice to be a hater a little bit, you know, as like a treat. So I couldn't hate to my full potential with this girl because I didn't actually meet her. I didn't get to actually experience her. I only heard
the story.
I heard secondhand from all of you guys. Yes. So like I felt like I missed out.
You can't go like Super Saiyan hate on her because you can only hate so much as the words we've given you and the stories we've told. But personal experience is way more serious.
I asked to put a name to the face. Yeah. You know, I did everything on my part that I could in order to hate as much as possible. Yeah. And I think I did a pretty good job given the circumstances. Yeah. But I don't know if we should even say like, tell like talk about like what happened afterward, because that was just with the other two, because it wasn't like a you story, it was like a them story.
Well, I mean there is a follow-up.
I don't know if they would want us to talk about it.
we don't need to go over any other like additional sort of drama, but I feel like I guess the story, to cap it all off, she managed to get the phone number of one of our friends who we shot with and then texted this person an absolute lie. They're like, Brad and his friend said you were this. They're so misogynistic. And I'm like, that is crazy. I would never talk trash to one of my friends, especially not to you, like some crazy lady who I don't know from Adam. Like, and I pride myself on like working with everybody. Some people, they're like, oh, I don't want to bring around my friend because he's only got like 5,000 followers. I'm like, I don't care. I'll work with anybody. And I pride myself on that. But I will say that, you know, maybe I'll be a little bit more cautious about people who aren't experienced at this and a little shitty at life. Anyways.
Yeah, I mean, you have to sort of like, you shouldn't work with just anybody, but also like, you know, sometimes it's even like the follower count doesn't matter because some people are just like, can listen and are talented. And then like,
it's just so rare for me to be disappointed by anyone this severely in my age, because all my friends are cool. So when they bring someone around,
this is almost like the problem is because like you don't think about some of these things as deeply.
Oh
yeah. It's funny that Brad was talking about like the vetting process and how he was disappointed. I was like, yeah. So the vetting process you were disappointed in, that was almost like me being disappointed with your vetting process sometimes.
I don't have
We've
a vetting
already
process.
Discussed this on our own.
Brad's vetting process is going to be...
How does it feel to meet someone crazy that your friend just brought around?
Here's the one... I mean, I'm not saying this doesn't make it okay, but the one saving grace is she was so universally disliked that it provided us with an amazing common enemy. Yeah. It actually brought new understanding within my dynamic in a certain friend group. It taught us a lesson. It teaches us lessons that we don't get when we hang out with cool people. Like, it teaches us lessons about trust. Like, she decided to go off radar and talk and say a lie to a friend of mine to make me look bad. And I'm like, well, this is sort of testing this friendship. Will this friendship survive? Like, I'm like, no, this lady's crazy. She's lying to you. Is it an okay? Or is it a, like, do you believe her a little bit? Because if you believe her a little bit, then, you know, that's not good. It brought certain people much closer together, and it allowed us to refine what we think, even in terms of the conversation that Stanzi and I just had with much subtext behind it. Like, the vetting process needs to be at least not nothing.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You definitely don't need a crowd for a lot of the events that you plan.
I don't need a crowd.
Like, some of the best ones have been the smaller crowd. As long as you have a good group of people, you know, it's really fun. You know, you just need people that can hang. You don't need everyone. Because, you know, sometimes it's a thing, especially with, like, friend group trips. Like, if there's one person that, like, we've been on, and this wasn't actually a you fault trip, but like on our second Vegas trip together, you and I.
That wasn't a my fault.
That wasn't
trip.
A you fault one, but that is like the result of having someone in a group that's just not great. That
I don't
derails
think anybody,
an entire
yeah,
trip.
If there and that wasn't my fault because I didn't. I wasn't familiar with the roster.
Mm-hmm. I clarified that at the beginning that wasn't a you fault thing because that you're not even the person that brought that person.
But I've
into
learned
the group.
A lot since then and I've refined my tactics very
but
well.
But even the person that did bring that person was like, I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah.
And,
that's right.
You know, because it sucks when you bring. And
I would love if some detective.
I'm not free of this either because obviously the last person or one of the first people I brought into our group.
Oh. Oh man. You know, this is such a vague episode.
Yeah.
Cause we're like this person and this person, but we're not using any names. We're like, but
it was from a pop punk band that recently got canceled.
We don't need
the last
to talk
few
about
months.
It.
No, we've already talked about it on the podcast.
There's gonna be some sleuth who's gonna like identify every single person. And
we've
in the
talked
comments.
About him yeah. by name on the know, podcast before, and I mean,
I
it's
really
been
get...
talked about a lot online too.
Yeah.
But like, he was one of the first people that I brought into the friend group.
Yeah.
I think he was the first person that I specifically was like, "Hey, I think this person can hang." And then just a year later, we realized like indeed
but you
could
know what?
Not
check it out.
Hang.
Check it out though. In that defense, based on available knowledge at the time, I think we all would have been fine. I think he would have cleared a vet. You know what I mean?
He was one of those people that's like cool when you first meet him, and then the more you start to spend more time with him, like the more the cracks started to show. Like some people they show you who you are up front. And then you're like that girl. You're like, you're just crazy.
No, that's
like,
true.
There was no, like they we were, all, you could all
she
just
didn't
see
hide it.
It.
She didn't hide it. You know what, to be fair?
Yeah.
If she's trying to build honest relationships, terrifying me on the first day is certainly a way to make sure that, it's a way to make sure your circle really likes you.
Yeah.
To just be
authentic, yeah.
Authentically horrible all the time.
That's probably why Trump is succeeding. You know, he's pretty much just out there and there's no facade really that he's trying to put on. But yeah, I've made that mistake before. It happens. It's not a good feeling, but we've all done it. And our friend felt super bad for bringing that girl. And I said to him, you know what? No, like, thank you for it actually, because now we all get this story about this crazy woman.
We all get the story. And
it's just a little bit of gossip to keep us fed until the next big thing happens.
Until the next person screws up. I know. That gossip only happened this weekend, so I'm good. So give me 3 or 4 more days.
Give me a little bit. Because it was secondhand for me.
Oh, if it was firsthand for you?
It was like a side dish. And I'm looking for a main course right now because it's been a minute since we've had some juicy little drama. We can't help it. We're like old ladies being like,
everything's kind of
checking
fine
in on
now.
Our neighbors. Like, I don't know.
We're like,
like a Gestapo kind of way, but
like we'll hang
like
out with a couple. We'll be like, do you think they're fighting?
Yeah, like, we'll be like, ooh.
She doesn't seem as happy as she was.
Is so and so still
time.
With who? No. Why? They broke up because of this? Oh, like yeah. It's. I love when I find out something that's happened that I get to go to Brett and I'm like, you know, I'm gonna save this. Sometimes I can't save it. Sometimes I need to text it to you because it's like, I'm like, it might get out. Like I need to be the first one to let him know about this thing.
Yeah.
But most of the time when I find out, I'm like, no, I'm gonna keep this.
Got
I'm
it.
Gonna wait till the next time I see him.
Got it.
So I can say it to him in person.
But that doesn't mean you shouldn't trust us. You know, we don't repeat gossip to much more than maybe my wife and her. And
I don't
it.
Get a ton of things. Usually when someone's like, and don't tell anyone, I'll be like, a lot of this stuff isn't things that people tell me in confidence. A lot of it is just like finding out about something that
that's
happened.
That's fair. Yeah, then it's
like,
just news.
It'll be like, oh, like this thing got leaked about this person. Like what? Like sometimes it's like my friends in the music industry that are like, oh, and then the producer told me this about this person. Then I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah. And then we talk about it. But if someone's like, please don't say this to anyone, I'll be like, all right. Usually I feel like those things aren't even that big of a deal.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, this is just something like personal that you're going through.
Maybe somebody will get drunk at Thanksgiving, or maybe somebody will get drunk at Friendsgiving and do something dumb. And
we have, so far we have about 14 people going, and
we got a decent crowd.
Yeah, so you know,
but they're all like calm. There's no like fire starters in the crowd.
You never know. Sometimes
we need more drinker friends.
So, yeah, even sometimes when my dad tells me about things that are happening with his like couple of friends that they meet, like they're like the parents of my baby sister's like friends, he'll like be like, oh yeah, this thing happened.
Oh, he'll know all the goss.
Yeah, and I'll be like, oh, like okay, like yeah, it doesn't really have anything to do with me or like people I hang out with, but I'm like, ooh. Mm. Yeah, that'll tide me over for maybe a day before I find out something new.
Yeah. Well, trust us with your secrets, right? write to one of us on Instagram. We promise we won't discuss it.
But yeah, no, my week was also crazy because me and my cat had to get an ultrasound.
Oh, that's kind of
not
cute.
Pregnant, not in a pregnant way. We both might have pancreatitis
at the same time.
Yeah,
whoa, are they gonna give you the same medication?
I wish. Can you imagine?
They're gonna give her ketamine.
I don't know if that's what they, I don't think they treat that with
what one. Yep, that's such a specific thing to both have at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't actually not chronic pancreatitis, at least for me, it would have been acute if I do if I did have it or do have it, or gallstones, which are both are just like not great. I feel fine now, but like but you know, the doctor doesn't fuck around with abdominal pain.
Yeah.
You shouldn't fuck her. If you want to live to see the next episode,
don't fuck around with abdominal pain.
Yeah. Mm. I had to go and get an ultrasound, which was just like, and then she had to get an ultrasound. So expensive. God, I hate the vet.
Yeah.
And I know it's not always their fault. It's because of private equity firms that buy all of them up and ruin it for everyone else. That's boo, right. Big boo.
Then they short their own stock, let the business fall. What a game.
Capitalism.
It's going great. It's going great. Speaking of capitalism, you can buy my watch. That's right. I designed designed is a loose term, but it's basically just a broken digital watch, just with a thing here. And if we sell enough of them, I'm going to design another watch where hopefully it's the same thing, but it'll work. And I know how I can make that work. So that is very exciting. I want to be a watch designer. I love watches. I've always wanted to be a watch designer. It's one of my quieter things. It's not really all that interesting or that bombastic, but God damn it.
Is that like the number one thing you want to be?
No. No, the number one thing I want to be is free from like generally worrying about my career. I think that's not very specific.
I just thought the choice of words free was so funny as like white man. God, I just yearned to be free one day.
I think I'm very free.
Are we leaving it there? I was like,
would have been pretty funny. No. I was just trying to think like,
Brad's like, I just want to be free from the shackles of oppression.
No.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.com. DSI.org.
What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
A lot of us don't actually make a lot of money doing what we're doing. I think that's like the misconception about like being an influencer and having followers and
people
stuff.
People think we're all millionaires once we hit a million followers, and that is not true at all.
Being an artist online, being a content creator, if you can make your money doing this, like, and you have like the amount of followers, they just equate it to money, and it really does not translate at all.
People ask me, they're like, how, you got all your watches from your YouTube money? I'm like, no, dude, I'm a doctor. Like, I don't.
Yeah. And I have to rely on like those.
Being funny.
Yeah. And so it's kind of like crazy to have to like be funny all the time if I want to make rent. And I'm like, oh, I'm so depressed. I don't have any, there are no good jokes at the joke store. Like I'm mining for jokes in my subconscious because I'm like, I have to churn out content if I want to like, you know, be able to like just do this full time. So it is like, it's not the hardest job in the world, but it is like,
it's not as easy as people think.
A lot of people think I'm rich, and I'm not.
I think a lot of the internet thinks that all influencers are super duper rich and that everything they put out is like super easy to them, where sometimes it takes
It also depends on the content. Work. Like we're also coming up with like, you know, we're doing like sketches, like, you know, we're a lot of us are kind of like doing our own like one man SNL show like every week kind of, you know, like we're coming up with sketches with other people. Like I do most of my stuff alone, but I do work with other people sometimes. So like versus being like, and this is my outfit that I wore today, which
some people get away with that, man.
Some people are really talented at curating an outfit, which is interesting to watch, but like there are different sort of brackets. But anyway, I should start doing
Get Ready With Me's. I've never done that.
I think I've done them. I've had some successful ones. I try to do like storytelling. It's just like sometimes it's easier to do something like that versus coming up with a whole sketch and whole, and you know, I buy a lot of costumes and stuff too. Yeah. Like,
you got a full closet.
Yeah, I do like take a lot of that money. A lot of that money does go back into like production stuff, but basically the point is that like I think that's one of my, I don't need to be a billionaire. I want to get to a point where I don't have to think about money. I think that's like the dream for like everyone, is just getting to a point where you don't have to like think about money all the time, because it sucks having to think about money. And it really, I think, takes a huge toll creatively, because you're like,
it's a big block.
Money consumes, like, it's very all consuming sometimes thinking about it. And you're like, either like you in a way where you're like, I have to, sometimes I just like sacrifice my like artistic wants for something that will just make me money. And like me, that's like, I'm just, yeah, I'm like, you know, also kind of not being inspired by some of the stuff that I put out because I thinking about money and like
it's just like a
having
weird,
to do it.
It's a weird slippery slope, because like as soon as money enters the sphere, all further thoughts will be affected by that in some way.
And when you get a little bit of it, it like, yeah, it does have like an
it's
impact
validating.
On your, yeah, because I also am living, I was making way more money like and this is actually almost across the board with all of my creator friends, making way more money like a couple of years ago than we are now. And like you had a like a sort of a taste of what it was like to like have more money.
Yeah.
And then you go kind of back into a place where you're like,
you have less.
Having less, and then having to like think about the way you move with money a little bit more. Cause like, you know, you could spend more obviously when you have more money, and then you kind of have to reel it in and then like rethink. Like your lifestyle fluctuates with this job, which is sort of like strange. Even our friends that like have had like sort of breaking out moments in like the mainstream media, Like we see a lot of, I've seen a lot more creators from TikTok on like, you know, mainstream media.
Didn't
things
that one
like
lady
SNL.
Signed to SNL?
Yeah, Jane Wickline. And that's really cool because her and I have been mutuals for like a while, and I, you know, we've both been doing like the sketch comedy stuff. You know, I feel like there's like a really good core group of women on TikTok that do sketch comedy, and she's always done it really well. And so being able to see someone like her bridge the gap, especially someone that I recognize bridge the gap between digital and mainstream has been more inspiring to me because like, I think sometimes I think that like, you know, there's just, they don't really take digital as seriously.
It's nice to see one crossover.
Yeah. And like, that's not even like the, that Brian L, he does like the, I forget his last name. He's on the, that like school show, like the teacher.
I have no idea.
He's on like a, I'm trying to think of like, okay, you know, he does the songs. He's like singing. Sitting is the opposite of standing. You don't know that guy?
I don't know that guy. Sorry, man. Different sides of TikTok, I guess.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. Sorry. He does like joke songs. Mm. And now he's in a show on like Hulu or Peacock or something. Yeah. Yeah. I've seen like, I've seen it happen with like several people this past year. And so I feel like the gap between digital and mainstream is blurring because like a lot of mainstream people realize that like they need a hint of digital to keep whatever they're doing relevant. Mm. Like I feel like we see that a lot in SNL. Like a lot of SNL humor is like things that like jokes that started on TikTok that they're like doing their spin on it. And so like that gap is like bridging.
Slowly
like, yeah.
Being dissolved.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that makes me so happy because that makes me feel better about like my potential success in that, because that's what I like always sought out to do. Like I never sought out to do digital. I sought out to like use digital to launch my career in mainstream media. And so that made me feel like a lot better about stuff. But yeah, like I would love to like get like I think a lot of our friends that also want to do mainstream are like, yeah, I just want to get like a reoccurring role on something.
Yeah, like a regular paycheck.
Yeah, like that. I'm like, that would be fucking awesome, dude. And then not have to like think about money all the time, like on like a monthly sort of basis. Yeah.
Well,
life, man.
Life is so crazy.
But I think that we all sort of want that. But back to the question I asked you, like, what are the things that you want to do specifically?
What, you mean like artistically?
Yeah.
Oh shit. I mean, I would if I didn't worry about money, I would just be writing songs again, probably. Yeah, I would just go back to being a musician. All of this stems from a failed musician dream, if you want to get real technical. Because nobody, you know, I wrote some music and, you know, some people said they liked it, but I'm a god-awful singer. And so anytime I attempted that, it wouldn't work.
A lot of people just do songwriting.
No, I do. I like to write songs alone in my room in my underwear. I like piano songs and orchestral stuff. Probably the last time I did anything like truly pure was probably, you know, freaking 14 years ago when I was doing these video game soundtrack albums. I would just make all these instrumentals and I just called it soundtrack for a video game, you know, just thinking I'd shop it to like video game people. And then sure enough, like two or three mobile games actually used a couple of my songs. But when I made it, the intent wasn't to make money. The intent was because I like doing the instrumental. And so now, so it's almost like I talk to people about this a lot, about like, oh, are you like happier with your work now that you've succeeded? And I'm like, not like the vision is totally different, because back then I made it and I expected no one to listen to it. So there's no way I could be disappointed. I'm like, I love it. I'm very proud of it. It's done. One dude used it in an app. That's more than I've ever prayed for. You know what I mean? Like the idea of like purity and gratitude in the work is totally different, because now I get real contemptuous if I put a lot of work into something and it like gets 14,000 views as opposed to 140,000.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I'll tell you, one of the problems with me is that I see the craft and I see how much money I'm making. I surmise how much money the people in my circle are making. And I see people who are destroying us, who do not have the same amount of talent, who are willing to exploit features in the shorts
algorithms. Why are you letting someone else's success impact your own art?
Because I am an inherently aggressive and...
But you understand how that's not helping you?
No,
that's hurting
I do.
You.
I do. I'm aware. Okay. I'm aware about... No, I'm... This is like fully realization it. I have a competitive spirit and I get mad when I think people are ripping off others. But anyways, that's not about, we're not going to go anywhere about talking about that.
But like your hatred for those things and your hyper fixation on those things rather than like your own artwork is
it's highly distracting me from the goal.
Yeah, it's making you a worse artist and you're really just like, you know, you're hurting yourself because you're not putting the work into the art that could be recognized, but you're just not allowing it to because you're instead focusing on everyone else's work. Like, you know, you're like, I understand why you get focused, but you're actually letting them win by even like giving them that attention.
Yeah, I've heard that one.
Why does... Yeah, I mean, like, Brad should just start paying me for therapy instead. Or, like, a life coach thing. Something. Because I feel like I'm doing the Lord's work.
Maybe we should just change it to, like, late to therapy. Yeah. Late to the party. Wait, just rearrange the words just a little bit on the logo.
This episode of late to therapy.
late therapy also kind of works. Yeah. It's more of a closer anagram.
Late. You should get back into... working on that stuff because like
I know I got a desk now.
I mean and here's the thing is that I see so many stories come out of like Hollywood and like stuff about like people that were like no one like I remember when Stranger Things first came out. I know a lot of people have thoughts on Stranger Things, so I'm not even going to touch it. I'm just telling you about the history of what happened, basically, is that they came out with Stranger Things, and the guys that created it, like, they talked about how no one wanted it at all. Like, no one wanted Stranger Things.
They thought the
Stranger
idea
Things.
Of, like, an 80s-themed horror series was bad.
A lot, yeah, they shopped it around, and, like, no one really cared about it, or, like... thought it would work, and then Netflix bought it. And I think this was like kind of like I mean, this was sort of earlier on in like Netflix's sort of existence.
Well, they'd existed for a while, but like in terms of their dominance.
They weren't dominating yet. They were in their Sabrina Carpenter before Espresso phase, but they weren't like Netflix because obviously Stranger Things became such an enormous hit for them.
Well, okay, I mean, I guess the subtext of it is how did they get Netflix to pick it out? What worked in their favor? Why did it get rejected from 9 other people and then Netflix picked it? Is it just the pitch meeting went better? Some one executive saw something in them?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of, I hear stories all the time about like these production companies that like, a lot of production companies really don't like taking risks. And Stranger Things was an original story that I think they didn't have like a ton of people that they only had Winona Ryder as like a big sort of like actor for that, like a name attached to the
project. They also had kid actors who did a good job.
But no one knew that at the time.
No, that's true. Yeah.
No, you're taking a risk on people that like are more unknown. And despite the fact that they're talented, like you have to, they're thinking like producers and stuff, like those people that are like putting, yeah, like they're thinking about like what makes money.
Correct. And they're thinking about what makes money. But most.
And so that is a, that they like, that's like a original stories. Like they don't know if that's going to make money. Like a lot of, that's why we see so many reboots now, because they know that a reboot of a certain thing is going to make money. Yeah. Like Wicked, they totally knew that that was going to be like a moneymaker, I think, because like, I mean, the budget for it was crazy. Ariana Grande, Michelle Yeoh, who's coming off of an Oscar win, you know, so. Cynthia Erivo, like she isn't as well known in like
movies, but she's known in Broadway.
Yeah. And like anyone who like talked about her being in it, they're like, obviously she's going to do a great job. Her voice is unreal. Like, and it's a story that already has a dedicated like fan base. It's one of the biggest shows ever on Broadway. Like still open to this day after like 20 years. And like, that is something that you can risk putting out versus a Stranger Things, like an original story.
Yeah.
That they're like, who knows if people are going to like this or not. Obviously, Netflix made the right call and picked it up because it became such a huge hit. But like, those are the risks involved in like, betting on original ideas. That's why we see so many things getting axed now. Like a lot of, that's kind of like what one of the problems that happened was like.
The ripoffs make more money. You see that?
They're not ripoffs. They're
the remakes, the redos.
They're remakes. It's just this, if they have, a lot of what they're doing right now is like, they're not like risking things. Like they're not risking production on projects that don't have a pre-existing IP. Like
Wicked. The people, whoever was the first producer of Wicked knew that there was a pre-existing IP that they could draw on. So like, they probably greenlit it because they're like, oh, sweet. It's tied to The Wizard of Oz. People love that. Fucking go. You know what I mean? So that movie was probably...
I mean, they all knew how successful it was. Like there was... They've been trying to make Wicked for a long time also. Like there were multiple... Like Disney was trying to get it for a really long time for themselves. Like companies were like betting on like trying to get that for themselves. Mm-hmm. Like that was something that people really, really wanted. So like you don't really see as many like original storylines getting pushed out these days.
That's a problem.
It is a problem, but like, that's why it's still important to like, try to be the guys from Stranger Things who are like, you know what you're up against going into this, like this field, but you have to like you have to bet on your own work. Like you have to bet on your own work. We all have to bet on our own like work to like get recognized, because we already have so much going against us in this industry. So you have to bet on your own work to push yourself forward, because if you don't, then like you are going to be the biggest thing standing in the way of your own success.
There should be like an alpha
edit.
That was
so fucking deep.
There should be an alpha edit after that. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah,
boom, boom.
I know. No, that was like an alpha edit sort of thing.
Like if we play the right music behind that clip.
And then
hit.
A fan cam to go with it of me.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Like a fan edit.
But that's true. Like, you know, and I feel discouraged by whether it be like the entertainment industry or like the digital sort of space. Like it's very discouraging. So you have to be your biggest like champion to push yourself forward, or else like you're just going to get swept away by like discouragement.
Cool. Well, on that note.
What a fucking dickhead.
I mean, how am I supposed to follow that up? I agree. Good work.
Brad doesn't like to let things marinate.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Marinating and reflection.
Yeah.
I like to go on to the next.
He's like,
okay, so
oil and water, just.
Hey, I have emotions.
We're working on them in therapy.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I come here
late
for.
Late to therapy. All right. Well, on that note, we had two good long episodes.
Two good episodes of late therapy.
Late
therapy. Late therapy-o. I think that makes it a more
late to the anagram. Therapy is, I know, but it sounds
late.
We'll work on it.
Late to therapy.
we'll circle back.
And no one,
one, two, three, four.
Episode.
Scooby bop 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 bop
bop bop bop
bop bop bop bop bop bop.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.